All music on this podcast is from Carpe Diem by The Science and Queen Jet Matus.
I'm a Yamanatara, and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Irina Zara, and my pronouns, while I'm still pretty fluid about them, are they and them.
Welcome to the Connecting the Branches podcast. We'd like to acknowledge that this podcast is being recorded on occupied land, historically belonging to the Tongva and the Tatavian peoples in the LA Basin.
This podcast will be heavily informed by a socially progressive lens that incorporates racial justice, intersectional feminisms, gender liberation, disability justice, and a variety of other topics.
We also want to specify that our thoughts in this podcast are spiritually informed by Gnosticism, various esoteric practices, ethnic and cultural Jewish identity, as well as various witchcraft traditions and other multi-denominational practices. Our lived knowledge of Jewish dogmatic practices, and especially schools of thought informed by Hasidic interpretation, may be limited. So this is our first podcast. Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome. We're talking about Kabbalah because that's what this podcast is about.
Yes.
We are recording this on the night of inauguration.
Yep.
So that may come up. We'll see. But we're in January 2021. That's a fun numerology.
Mm-hmm.
2021 in Gematria adds up to the number 5. If you are unfamiliar with Gematria, it's also called numerology, and you add the digits of the number together. So 2 + 2 + 1 = 5. If you look at the geometry for the number 5, the sacred shape that is usually associated with 5 is the 5-pointed star, otherwise known as the pentagram. And if you look at it the way the mystics look at it, with 1 point up, 2 points down, and you put little dots on each of the points, it's man reaching for God. Da Vinci's the man, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the number 5. What does that bring up for you?
I kind of want to just piggyback on talking about the imagery of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who don't know, well, I am an American person who identifies as white. I grew up culturally in an immigrant community that was of people of Middle Eastern, the preferred kind of quote unquote decolonial term at this point is becoming the acronym SWANA, which stands for Southwest Asian and North African. And also people within that of Eastern Mediterranean who wouldn't necessarily fall into like the West Asian category, as well as various Central Asian Slavic people. So I had a lot of cultural context within like what information was shared between people culturally from this region, even because of and in spite of like what I would call pretty similar Abrahamic traditions, but also taking from the fact that like those had been around in that region for such a long time that some of the indigenous traditions, like it's really hard to pull them out of the Abrahamic stuff.
Sure.
Because there's been so much writing that emphasized literacy and dudes transmitting information, and it's been around for such a long time. But anyway, so as far as imagery goes, just to talk about what you were talking about with the star, when I think of that part of the world, I think of the Hamsa. So the Hamsa is considered a protective symbol. Another name for it would be the hand of Miriam or the hand of Fatima, if you're talking about Muslim people. So it's basically considered, you know, a protective symbol of the hand. Sometimes you'll see it with the fingers pointing up. Sometimes you'll see it with the fingers pointing down. I am gesturing as I do this, although I know you can't see me. This is just going to happen for a while.
I do it all the time.
So, you know, that's what it looks like visually. People of various identities from that part of the world, from Israeli to Arabic people of different religious belief systems, to all kinds of other ethnic groups, like they use that symbol. So that was kind of the first symbol that came to my mind when I think about the number five, just because of my personal cultural context.
Sure.
But, you know, if we're going with that, we're going with the protection, obviously. We're going with boundary. We're going with the first thing that's flowing to my mind is like, this stops here kind of energy, which would really make sense if we're addressing, at least here in the US and North America, some of the topics of injustice that have come up recently.
Sure.
And also one thing that really kind of hit a light bulb for me was actually Biden in his inauguration speech. He said a line that was something along the lines of, some days you will feel that you need a hand or you will need help. Mm. And some days you will need to lend a hand.
Mm.
So if we're thinking of the imagery of hands, I think that's really popular. Also, if you look at the number five, this kind of corroborates with that. But if we're going path of the flaming sword up from Keter in the Tree of Life, you get to Gevra, which is also the fuck you, this stops here energy.
Right. The ultimate boundaries.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm feeling a lot of power from that. I also feel that based on its connections to the Hebrew letter of Hey, I think it's going to have like this interesting, I don't want to say paradox, but it's going to have a divine embodied energy to it, but that's also obviously very action oriented. It's like a feminine sort of energy taking action. So not in the masculine transcendent sense of like, I don't know, I just lost my words here. Like the feel of it is different.
Sure, sure, absolutely. I don't know
if you're picking up on what I'm trying to say with that.
I think I am. Yeah, it's more solid. It's holding space, you know. It's a hand, like if you can imagine your palm upward cupped, you know, that's also the five. Interestingly, you know, Hey, first of all, is the letter that's doubled in the unnamable name of God, Yod Heh Vav Heh. And it's seen as being a window. It's a window up. And it's a window down. And interestingly, I'm going to go off on the Chronicle Project for a minute. Anybody who's not familiar with the Chronicle Project, which is probably everybody, especially since they stopped doing their stuff like, I don't know, 8 years ago or something. But anyway, there was this research project out of Canada called the Chronicle Project. If their website is still up, it's thechronicleproject.org. Anyway, they had this hypothesis that the Hebrew letters, at least in ancient Hebrew, were hieroglyphs, not letters. And they're all action words, they're all verbs. And so they sort of retranslated Genesis and a bunch of stuff based on this hypothesis and based on the sort of Rosetta Stone that they had developed. And the letter Hey, or the hieroglyph Hey, they interpret as to note, which to me means pay attention, you know, and that's very much an interesting theme for 2021, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we're in the middle of a paradigm shift. I can't say it often enough. And this is definitely a turning point. It's still going to be uncomfortable because we hate change. We're humans. But I do see us turning a corner this year. I don't think things are going to go back to feeling like we have the ground under our feet anyway, till probably 23, 24 or somewhere in there. But absolutely, you know, part of 2021, I think, is kind of grabbing us, shaking us by the shoulders and saying, pay attention. Pay attention to what you're thinking. Pay attention to who you're affecting. Pay attention to what you're doing. because if not, you're going to get really uncomfortable and you're going to be reaching for the divine in the wrong way.
And isn't that kind of also just like the logical follow-up to some of the social issues that were brought to light in 2020?
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. You know, I think that the energy has been for some time moving towards more of the indwelling receptive divine. You know, some people would call it the feminine divine. I'm trying not to gender it, but it's that indwelling, that the divine that lives within you and that is receptive. You know, there's an obligation and a request, I think, that comes with that, in that it is very important to connect to each other through the heart chakra, through Tiferet, through the fifth sphere.
Yeah, I was looking at the energetic pathway of Hay as well. That's associated with that. When you look at the visual of the tree, and according to my notes, I'll hold you responsible for this. Because you taught
me. Excellent.
But according to my notes, that is the pathway, as you were saying, between Chokmah and Tiferet. So essentially, this is pulling from the notes I had, but it's the initial energy of the Big Bang connecting to heart-centered human existence.
Yeah.
And then I made a note here, and I think this is a recent note that I made, but like what it brought to mind for me was transcendent versus heart space.
Well, transcendent to me is, you know, what if people are calling the indwelling receptive divine, if they're calling it feminine, then the transcendent would be the masculine of that. It's the flip side of that coin. It's the divine that exists without, you know, outside of us, that we are always looking to escape the human condition to connect with. I feel like that was grammatically incorrect. I'm sure everybody will forgive me. And you know, Tiferet is the center of the tree. It's the center of the body. It's the heart chakra. And it's the place of beauty. It's the place of awareness. It's the place also of the Christed human, you know, the person, the human who is in touch with their essence. Mm-hmm. And who understands that they are connected to the all, and that everyone around them is also part of the all. And so moving from that transcendent space of Chokmah down into the true center, that's a fascinating energy to be in. You know, as we go through paradigm shifts, I believe that, you know, we kind of go up in vibrational levels. We go up to the next tree within the tree, so to speak. So in some sense, emotionally, energetically, we're having a new Big Bang.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I think one thing to pull from that also is, because I was definitely feeling this today, like watching the inauguration and just watching people's responses from all over the world, like with the energy of the Big Bang comes the potential to shape the future, you know?
Absolutely.
I've seen so many kind of cultural figures, folks I follow on social media, justice visioners, and leaders and such, who I'm really into, talk recently, like within the past month or two, very specifically, like, what does that future that you would like to happen look like? Because we've spent so much time as well being like, not this, not this, not the Cheeto, bye bye, this sucks. You know what I mean? Like, but you've always said, like, when you do, like, fuck you, bye bye, like, you're pushing energy at it. So we have to actively focus to note, to bring our focus to visioning the future that we do want to see ourselves in.
Sure. And even more than that, because we're moving into the heart space and because we're moving into the indwelling receptive divine, what do we want it to feel like?
Right.
You know, look like, yes, absolutely. But what do we want it to feel like? What do I want to feel like in my body in relation to you? What do I hope to generate in you in my interaction with you? you know, how can I honor you? In other words, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a big thing as far as like the feeling of oneself in their body, because I feel like so much of 20 of last year was like, a lot of us had all this time, like in physical isolation. And it was literally the first time for some people that they're like, oh my God, like I perceive how stress feels in my body. Like I perceive how tiredness or joy or this or that feels physically in my body. You know, it was on this very physicalized, I think they also call it somatic.
Sure.
If I'm using that term correctly, but sure. Yeah, this very somatic level for people. And last year was like the first time that some people in their lives experienced that, even though we were also paradoxically like staring at screens the whole time. You know?
But yeah, that moving out of human doing and into human being, I think is a really important space for us to have transitioned through, you know, because we are called human beings, not human doings. And if you're running all the time, if you're doing, you're not paying attention to your body. You aren't where the soles of your feet are. And it's impossible to be effective and empowered if you're not in the now. You know, the now is the only moment that actually exists. Everything else is in your head, whether it's remembered or projected. Mm. Be where the truth is, be where the divine is, be in the center of your own tree, be the middle pillar. Otherwise, yeah, you know, you have to be the backbone of your world.
Yeah, that's huge too, because like on a practical level, we saw in 2020 the sometimes comical utility of trying to predict stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you know, various government officials and their competence and approach were also a factor, but like, I think part of it was just we were dealing with a set of circumstances, notwithstanding political leaders, that was unlived before, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, the entire year of 2020, you know, no one alive actually remembers living through, just as an example, the Spanish flu.
Right.
You know, if they were alive, they were wee little things, if you will.
Right. Even, you know, survivors of World War II, which in numbers I just read is like getting to be close to comparable to the numbers of mass death that we're experiencing due to COVID. Those people were, you know, are very, very few of them are left. Like they're either folks who were children at the time, or they're very advanced in age, like the somehow couple of 100-year-olds in my family. I'm not blood related to them, but I do have 2 100-year-olds in my family. Wow. I admire them for sticking around.
Yeah, I was just, that just triggered something for me. And I was looking at an article. So people have been using the term better angels a lot lately. And it was, of course, in Biden's speech, which is what made me think of it. And I was looking at a thing. He's not the originator of it, by the way. They were using it further back than Shakespeare, even.
For sure.
But we're approaching the number of deaths we had during the Civil War. That was the thing that jumped out at me. You know, and we almost just had another one of those. And there are people who are still fomenting, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and the better angels for me are absolutely, you know, severity and mercy. Those are, you know, you have that in cartoon terms, you have the angels that sit on your shoulder, you know, and one tells you, you know, listen to your worst impulse, and the other one tells you listen to your best impulse. You know, it's the personification of the negative ego versus the free will. It's the part that always lies to you and the part that always tells you the truth, which, you know, absolutely, you know, corresponds to both the outer columns and the tree if they are out of balance. And we just went through 4 years of a lot of lack of balance.
Yes. To put it mildly.
So yeah, there's some very interesting parallels recently with the Spanish flu, but also with the Roaring Twenties, which came after World War I and the Spanish flu, and also with the beginnings of the Civil War, the American Civil War.
Interesting. I did get a chance to read your four separate blog posts regarding
the forecast of doom. Yes.
Yes. Regarding, it wasn't really doom. It was just kind of like, you know, we're going to take a minute to find our footing. But
sure.
I mean, we're all changing as a giant group of humans. Yeah. So that's, you know, to be expected. Yeah. But yeah, those moments in that blog where you brought up some of the comparisons to the Roaring Twenties were really interesting.
Well, when you're in
I had a friend who's totally like not really woo-woo, like she kind of identifies as a Satanist and is just, you know, that woo-woo stuff isn't really her jam, but she offhand said something like, oh yeah, the 1920s happened right after the Spanish flu.
Yeah, it was the Spanish flu and World War I. And so, you know, we've had 4 years of contraction. We've been through a period of contraction, a very Guevara sort of energy where we're pulling in. And if you do that too much, if it's out of balance, what happens is that you explode, right? There's a very rapid sort of, you know, explosion going outward because you've, you know, tried sucking stuff in too much and you're not a black hole. So bam, because, you know, mass likes a little room to breathe. And so what you get is this, the energy of it comes across to me as mass hysteria, you know, where it's like all of a sudden everybody is the 5-year-old who has the key to the ice cream. You know, and considering the fact that part of this contraction that we've had for the last 4 years, and especially in this last year, has been this push-pull between the good of the individual versus the good of society, you know, the good [S2] Right. [S1] Of the community. You know, I feel like some people have already been doing this and can't we just get past it now? But they, you know, no, apparently not, because the energy of the country as a whole has been, metaphor for you sucking. and now it's going to, as soon as enough people feel like the vaccine has hit enough people, and I'll tell you just from a pure science point of view, it's not going to be, and you know, there's the vaccine is not going to be in enough people when this happens, but there's going to be a big explosion. And over the summer, we're going to have people being super unsafe and really sort of flinging their energy outward, you know, in the masculine expression or the transcendent expression of five.
Right.
And what's going to happen is come October, we're going to have another contraction because we're going to have to, because not enough people are going to be immune. We will not have achieved herd immunity.
What are the, were they quoting a particular particular percentage for herd immunity for this particular
minimum virus? 70%.
Okay.
You have to have minimum 70%. Yeah. And my understanding, and I could be totally wrong, if you're a science person, please write in and correct me if I'm wrong. But my understanding is that the immunity you get from the vaccine is theoretically, because we don't have enough evidence yet, but is theoretically stronger than the immunity you have from actually having contracted the illness. And so my understanding is also based on studies they've been doing in China and some of the European nations, that immunity by infection drops faster than immunity by vaccine. And so even if you've gotten sick, getting immunized is a really fucking good plan. Oh, did we say we were going to swear? We're going to swear. Sorry.
Yeah. Parental advisory. We say fuck a lot.
Halfway through the show.
we'll just throw it in there when we remember.
Maybe we'll put a sticker on it or something.
Yeah.
Tipper Gore. Anyway. oh God, where was I going with that?
I've lost my train of thought. Okay, wasn't important.
The immunity thing.
Enough people are, you know, enough people are refusing the vaccine right now that we're not going to hit 70% immunity. And when you add in the fact that folks in developing nations, folks in less well-off financially nations aren't even going to get the vaccine till like next year. Right. The planet is not going to be safe as a whole in terms of being safe from the vaccine. You know, the only countries that are getting this vaccine right now are the colonial ones, are the ones, you know, the countries that are seen as world powers. Right. Most of Africa is not going to have the vaccine. Most of the Southern Hemisphere isn't going to have the vaccine until next year.
The global South, yeah.
And, you know, it's horrifying to me that we're letting people die from grief because of our greed. I mean, not that that hasn't been happening for hundreds of years now. You know, this is one of those, like, even if you don't have compassion for these people, the good of the community dictates that everyone should get the vaccine at the same time.
Right.
You know, God forbid we capitalists should be, you know, compassionate about anything, but I'm sure this podcast will get me on a list, but I'm already on most of them. So
we're both already on a list for real.
Oh, I want to know what list I'm not on yet so that I can, like, you know, see if I can get on that one. But yeah, this idea of rapid contraction and expansion that's been happening in this paradigm shift is absolutely fascinating. I'm not really sure it's something I want to be living through, but, you know, I'm here, so I guess I'll deal with it.
I'm not into, like, the panic shopping and the sheltering in place.
Just go to Costco. Why do you need that much toilet paper? Stop it.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I have bad lungs, so, like, you know, I've been, you know, sheltering in place. Yeah, just I started sheltering in place before most people did because I'm like, right. I have COPD. I like to protect my heart chakra. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I mean, I was wearing, I've been wearing a mask for the past few cold and flu seasons, especially when I ride public transit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the town that I grew up in is heavily Asian, specifically with a lot of Chinese and Taiwanese people. So, like, I know why masks are thought to be effective. Like, I know about their efficacy. So, yeah, I was wearing a mask after, you know, hearing about COVID. I was wearing a mask in February of last year.
Well, I mean, the last few years during flu season, I'm also one of those people, by the way, who I'm like, if it's flu season, don't touch me. And if you have children, go stand 10 feet over there.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an anti-vaxxer, because But I'm usually like first day the flu vaccine is available, I am in line. But yeah, I've been wearing a mask for the past couple of years during flu season. I spend a fair amount of time in closed rooms with a bunch of other people, you know, whether it's teaching or whatever. And so, anytime I'm going to be in one of those situations, especially if people are chanting or talking loudly or singing or whatever, I know what happens when people do that. There's all kinds of spit that comes out of their mouths. You know, I'm the person who has lived with hand sanitizer. So as we move from an uncomfortable out of balance contraction into a reactionary expansion, the next pendulum shift, pendulum swing with that is hopefully moving into something that is more of the indwelling receptive divine. You know, as the pendulum swings back, I think every time it swings for the next couple of years, we're going to be getting closer and closer to a place of, how do I want to say, a place of the middle pillar. I mean, you know, energy is defined by motion. It's never going to be perfectly in balance because nothing's ever perfect, not in this plane. But I think we're going to be hitting a lot more good opportunities for compassion and for inclusivity. You know, it is totally possible to honor someone's experience without othering them. And that's where I want us to go. That is sort of part of my dream of what I've been visioning for a future. Because, you know, if you're walking the tree, or if the tree is working you, depending on how you come at it, the aim, the goal is for that middle pillar. it's boundaries with love.
Right.
And I'm really bored of hanging out over on the capitalist side of the tree. So,
and you know, Biden said something in his speech today too that was very no bullshit. He was like, you know, ideally we're gonna have to sit there and talk to folks we don't agree with.
Yep.
And we're gonna have to figure out how to do that like goddamn adults. He didn't put it like that, but you know.
He should have. He totally like, is like that like uncle, you know. Like,
yes. Like cut the crabs. Yeah. Oh, the Bernie memes, they made me feel good.
Saw one come across my inbox today that was just adorable of him sitting there all like huddled up and
yes.
Cranky old man.
Yes, that gave me life.
Just makes me want to pinch his cheeks, I don't know.
Yes, but yeah, you know, it's gonna be that place of where can I find that common ground with you as a meatbag, a human being, you know, that doesn't have to hinge on our beliefs, but that can move the conversation to recognizing everybody's humanity without othering them.
And we're back to the heart chakra, we're back to Tifaret, we're back to that five.
Yeah.
Because if you can use your heart chakra as an operating system and you can greet people from your heart chakra to their heart chakra, that is the absolute meaning of namaste, of gaso, of aloha. You know, it's that the my divine energy honors your divine energy, because when we interact on that level, it humanizes the entire thing and people stop being commodified. People stop being their function and they get to be human beings.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you brought up the namaste and the heart energy and things like that, because I was actually just having a messaging conversation with one of my yoga teachers today, and she is of South Asian descent. She is Sri Lankan. And, you know, there's been a conversation in the community of yoga leaders, yoga instructors recently about using namaste at the conclusion of your practice. Okay. Because in India and in South Asia, it is like the divine in me acknowledges the divine in you, but culturally, it's like how a person reverences somebody either like in a very distinguished formal position, like it intersects with that kind of like, you know, respecting your elders, but also kind of.
Is like it more of like a sensei greeting then?
It's yeah. Like okay. It's okay. How you greet like an older auntie who's like 60 years old.
Right.
So it's very much, it is reverence, but it's also reverence kind of intersecting with like eldership.
Sure.
And
sure.
Greater wisdom. So it's just, it's interesting that I think, you know, I'm understanding it better along those lines as also like as reverence as somebody, reverence for somebody who kind of has greater wisdom. Sure. Or greater status. Sure. Potentially.
Well, if we were going to shift that out of a sort of colonial ethos, you know, we right. could use something more like gaso, which is the Japanese word for that energy,
right?
Or aloha, right. You know, but it's, you know, or even just saying, you know, the divine in me greets the divine in you. But The only way that we're going to get to have those conversations is heart chakra to heart chakra.
Absolutely.
We cannot do it from the third chakra. It's just not going to happen because that's fear-based messaging. And that's right. Where we other people in the heart chakra, we start to practice inclusivity.
Mm. So then given all of what you just said, and given how much like, let's say news broadcasting tends to enjoy fear-based messaging, How do you think sort of news reporting in that style and all of that, and I hate to bring this up, but social media is going to play in?
Well, I think that how we're accessing our information is absolutely shifting. There aren't that many people who watch TV news anymore. You know, I mean, TV news people will tell you there aren't that many people watching TV news anymore.
I guess by news, I meant just like the news cycle in general. You don't have to be getting it from TV.
But you know, but I think also people, you know, even people who weren't caught up in the whole Q juice bullshit, you know, have started to step away from the media as being trustworthy. I mean, I think it happened probably like 5 or 10 years ago at this point, where we started realizing that maybe they don't research stuff as much as they're supposed to.
Right.
You know,
and a lot of events are alleged.
Right. Or like, you know, back in the 80s, even I'm dating myself, but whatever. I'll be a crone. That's fine. Back in the 80s, you know, at that point in time, over 60% of the media was owned by less than 1% of the population. There's no way for that not to be operating in somebody's interests who isn't me. You know, it's not in the interest of the population. And as more and more people become more and more aware of that stuff, you know, I am honestly a fan of being able to get information from on the ground. You know, person to person eyewitness stuff. And yeah, sometimes that's fear-based too, but I can step out of that Twitter stream and go garden.
See, it's good that you have that skill. I still hugely struggle with that shit. I'm sorry. Like it's.
Sure.
I have to greatly limit my Twitter consumption
for
that reason.
Well, but I mean, I think
specifically that platform.
Sure. Well, Twitter is one of those things that either you get it or you don't, and you stand in the stream for a minute and then you're like, okay, I'm wet. Bye-bye. Somebody, who was it? I was reading an article in, I want to say The Atlantic, and I wish I could remember what article it was. Hopefully I will remember and I'll put it in the notes for this podcast. But anyway, there was an article in The Atlantic in the current issue in the last week that talked about how we have become adrenaline junkies, and that there is a thing that happens chemically in our brains when we step into that fear-based information stream that we need to like find a 12-step program for. Because as a society, we're not doing ourselves any good. And you know, if the media empires crumble because they can't afford to feed themselves anymore, all right, good writers will always find a niche.
Right.
The publishers can go fuck themselves. I really don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, because those are all the people who have been operating against the interest of the population for so long that it's not even funny.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love podcasts. I can have opinions.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just, it's interesting to look at, you know, I agree with your assessment. Like, I think that your average person is starting to at least be somewhat more critical of like how news happens, period. Yeah. You know, like what gets touted out there and how reports are put together and what the information, like I think people are starting to get more critical about it. Especially also maybe not, this had something to do with it, but that Social Dilemma, it was a Netflix basically documentary, I believe.
Okay.
But it came out, I think it came out last year, like in the middle of last year, but it really talked about how social media is kind of there to just manipulate.
Oh yeah.
Responses.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, milk your brain meats.
Well, sure, you know,
pretty much.
And that's how they profit.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot of information has been coming out over the last couple of years about like how Facebook was created, what Facebook was created for, and how it operates, and how everybody should step the fuck away from it.
So glad I did, by the way. I'll give a testimonial to that.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I'm just reading comments on my own posts and just posting like little bits here and there and not reading my stream because I just can't.
Right.
That may change after, you know, after today. We will see. But yeah, it's mostly I'm on there for the I Am an Atara page. But yeah, if we are moving into more of a heart-based society, more of an indwelling, receptive, divine society, then maybe we should start like being with each other in person, you know. And I love the upsurge of Zoom, honestly, because I can have communications with people all over the world that are face to face.
Right.
Voice to voice is good. Face to face is even better. And you know, I spend so much time on the astral that I don't get fatigue from hanging out on the internet, but I much prefer this sort of communication as I gesture on audio podcast because we're on Zoom recording this. And so I can see Irina and she can see me, you know, and so, you know, this sort of communication works for me, you know, and I get to see people on a daily basis who live like in Scotland and stuff like that. And it's great. Mm-hmm. And it's person to person. It's not text-based information. And it sidesteps for me the whole weirdness of the origin of the energy of the origin of the internet, you know, because for people who don't know, it was invented by the military-industrial complex. It was founded by DARPA.
Not Al Gore, by the way.
Oh my God. Nor is it a system of tubes. oh my God.
I'm gonna ride the Al Gore internet joke like to my
please
grave.
go right ahead but yeah you know it was founded by DARPA which is part of the military industrial complex, and any creation takes on the energy of its founder until it's influenced otherwise. You know, and so I've been spending a few years like trying to get people to influence it in a positive way, and it has gone that way a little bit. But really, we should just sidestep the entire fucking thing and go back to, you know, person-to-person contact, which involves, you know, at this point, involves stuff like video. It's absolutely possible to have energetic exchange on video.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be face-to-face. You know, while all of this crap is still going on, I don't want to be face to face in that sense, but I can share energy with you in this space. I can do ritual in this space. You know, it's actually easier for me to share energy because I'm not constrained by space and time.
Yeah. On a personal level, you know, like in general, if, you know, I've been pretty good over Zoom with hanging out with people. And like you were saying, I feel like I had a greater ability to enter ritual space with a bunch of folks I didn't know. I felt like, I mean, I can't tell you exactly why this is, but I felt like the stakes were like not as anxiety producing as they would be if I did the same thing in meet space. And I feel like I was able to contribute to the ritual action in a way that was useful, but not like so concerned about shielding myself with people I didn't know or energies I didn't know how to field. It was just, it was all really positive. I haven't done this a whole bunch, but I had a couple experiences with it, particularly over the past couple months, that were really positive. So yeah, I agree. I mean, we are also going to have to figure out how to rebuild having physical contact with each other.
Sure, and that's everybody's going to have PTSD from this last year.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, that's not to say, okay, folks, go out and like hug a stranger and do something you're not comfortable with. You know, that's not what I'm suggesting. But we're going to have to rebuild that experience somehow.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Maybe we don't even quite know what that will look like because of the timeline and various other factors, but you know,
I don't think we do. Interestingly, you know, just going back real quick to the feeling safer doing shared energy ritual on the internet, it's mm-hmm. because your fear is attached to your body. The third chakra is absolutely a physicality operating system. you know, I always say, you know, as long as you're in a physical body, you're going to have a third chakra you have to deal with, you know, the squirrel cage in your head. But the minute you step into the astral, you're no longer in your body and you don't have to function with fear.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to relearn or learn new ways of being in physicality with people. Yeah, it's challenging and it's fascinating. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to learn how to do this differently. You know, maybe we get to learn to do this differently, respecting other people's sanctity of body more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, like at the, I remember, you know, hearing from some friends at the very beginning of when stuff was shutting down, but like events were just getting smaller, but it wasn't complete, you know, lockdown,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it was that point in time where it's like handshaking and hugs were like saying, don't do it, but right. you could still be at a group event or whatever. And they sure. were, you know, strongly encouraging masks already by that point. But I was at a smallish, but still public event at the time. Like I said, this was before like complete sure, shutdown sure, sure. or whatever, but you know, I remember somebody within my social circle saying something like, yeah, I did not dig, you know, strangers assuming they could hug me like before this. So I'm doing okay with, you know, yeah. Yeah. the way that we're renegotiating boundaries here. And then of course it went really constricting and, you know, people got touch starved and it's mm-hmm. going to be a really kind of a big mess in that way. If you haven't, you know, had the ability to quarantine with somebody or be in a safe pod or something like that with somebody. But I think what you were saying is right on, you know, like we'll be reevaluating boundaries in general, just out of necessity.
Well, and the opportunity to do things more consciously is being given. Mm-hmm. And I yes. love that. I think, yes. you know, we do so many things, you know, at least in the US, probably less so in Europe. I haven't been there in a while, but, and, you know, other parts of the world have a completely different approach to it, but I can absolutely speak to the United States where we do stuff unconsciously. You know.
Very much so.
There are small communities where they don't.
Yeah.
And I'm always very comfortable in those spaces because people are driving their own goddamn cars, you know, but we all try to drive the car from the backseat or the trunk.
Right.
And so we're constantly driving over each other's toes or, you know, through each other's cars or what have you. We need to do things more consciously. And that's also going to change the flavor of interaction. There's so much opportunity in these next couple of years of rewriting how we do, how we people,
mm-hmm.
you know, how we get to be human beings with each other.
I feel like I'm already seeing it because part of the product, it seems to me, at least in my assessment, of a lot of this time in isolation for people has been like, again, reevaluating not just how they people on the macro level, like when it comes to justice regarding various groups of people in society, but regarding, you know, how they people on an interpersonal level in their own daily lives. Like I know people who have seriously, you know, woken up and realized, okay, like I was not given a role model, or I was not taught how to people, or, you know, I people, but I realize that I'm being driven from the third chakra steering wheel, you know, and, right. or, oh, wow, I realized my behaviors were kind of reactionary, you know, I'm hearing a lot of stuff on the intimate, like inner psyche kind of level, not just the macro social issues.
Yeah.
That's happening as a result of this.
I'm excited by this, honestly. I mean, as painful as this has been to live through, the opportunities that it's presenting and to be, to do things differently, to be different.
Mm-hmm.
with each other and within ourselves is really exciting to me. I'm still not a fan of change, but whatever. I keep going, can we just get to the end of the paradigm at the shift? And I'm like, no, we can't, because we have to figure out what that looks like. And we have to create it for ourselves, because it's a free will universe.
Yeah, that just goes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the show, which is like a lot of this, especially I think the next 2 years, essentially years 1 and 2 of the Biden-Harris administration, is going to be so powerfully about visioning, you know, now that we have the chance to depart from the fuck you, not this, this is terrible, everything's terrible, everything's on fire. Like, now that we can, you know, stand on the ground that feels just a little bit safer, even though it's not perfect, where do we go from there? What are we going to actively create from a place of being like, okay, we're all powerful beings. What do we want to do with it?
Right. What's next? So. And I just looked at the time. We are running out of time. Okay. So I think that that's a wonderful cliffhanger to leave it on anyway. It gets people thinking a little bit. So we were going to do this as a monthly thing. And starting next month, we would love to have people actually participate on an audience level. We were thinking about opening it up to audience so that you could ask questions in the chat or what have you, and have this be more interactive. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I'm excited. And if you have any questions, thoughts, Shadow Puppets, Interpretive Dance, feel free to send it our way. We do
send us a video of your interpretive dance.
We do insist that the interpretive dance be in video form, or at least a GIF. We'll take a GIF.
Tag us on TikTok. I can't. TikTok. I'm trying not to be an old fogey.
I'm on YouTube. You can tag me on YouTube. Yeah.
I'm trying to TikTok. It's not happening.
I may be too old for TikTok. We'll see. All right. Well, this has been.
Should we share fun. Like our?
Oh, sure.
Want to follow me on Instagram? My somewhat more spiritually inclined profile on Instagram is at Divinatrix Coaching. I've kind of rebranded it as DivinatX because that feels a little more like non-gendered and also like sounds slightly more cyberpunk, but I'm keeping my handle on Instagram. So it's Divinatrix Coaching, all one word.
And all of my socials are different all over the place. I tried to be uniform and then just wasn't, but they'll be up in the notes. I have been a Yamanatara, and
I've been Irina Zara,
and this has been a lovely experience to share with you, Irina, and hopefully with our audience.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Natara. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Connecting the Branches.
Yes, we will see you again or hear you again or whatever next month.
Yes. Bye. Good night.
All music on this podcast is from Carpe Diem by The Science and Queen Jet Matus.